Our scripture reading is John 19, verses 17 through 30. This is the word of the Lord, and it says, "So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and him with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Don't write, the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, 'I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit."
May the good Lord bless the reading of the Scriptures. Dear beloved, it's an honor to be here. I'm from the Congregational Church, and I'm so blessed, happy to see everybody. Tonight, my message is simple, and it's three words. It is finished. And we know the story about how Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. And we know how he had to stand trial before Pilate, and we also know how they hung him on the cross by driving those nails through his hands and feet. And we also know how they pierced him in the side, and out came blood and water. And we already know all of this. But there is a deeper revelation here. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but I'm going to go back and talk to you about where God wants us to go. And tonight, this scene takes place after Pilate said this, after his private conversation with Jesus. And he has determined that Jesus was not guilty of what he has been charged with. We heard that in John 19, verse 10. And I want everybody here to imagine with me, if you would, Jesus standing in the judgment hall. He is beaten. He's broken down. He's badly bruised with his face battered. And Jesus is almost unrecognizable. He is wearing an ugly, tattered purple robe. And as he walks by, the soldiers taunt him and make fun of him. Listen as they call our Savior's name, the Son of God. Jesus, our Savior. Listen as they shout, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And as our hearts are aching within our chest and tears are running down your face from imagining his pain, then you see it. The crown of thorns that they had placed on his head. The crown of thorns that is pushed so far down on his head that it's piercing his brain. I want you to imagine that torment. I want you to imagine that pain. He endured all of this so that we could have salvation. And finally, through so much torment and pain, he reaches Pilate. And I want you to understand that because Pilate didn't think that Jesus was guilty. He wanted to release him. Pilate actually made it quite clear to everyone that he didn't find fault in Jesus. But the people cried out, "Crucify him." Imagine how Jesus must have felt. Imagine how much pain, how much anguish, the loneliness, the torment he must have felt at that time. And after Pilate had brought Jesus out in front of the people, it was brought out to his attention that Jesus has to be crucified because Jesus had claimed himself to be the Son of God. And this made Pilate very afraid of him. Out of his anger and pity for Jesus, Pilate went back to Jesus to question him again. "Who are you?" he asked Jesus. "Where do you come from?" And Jesus didn't answer him. He never even said a word to him. And after Jesus would not answer him, Pilate said, "Why won't you answer me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" And I can imagine at this time, at that point, that Jesus lifted his head through all that pain, through all that suffering, through all that anguish. And he turned to Pilate. And he looked at him in the eyes. And he said, "The only reason that you have any power against me is because it was given to you from above." And it was at that point that Pilate realized that he had no power whatsoever against Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying to Pilate, "I need to fulfill my reason for living on this earth, that my people may be saved." Pilate didn't realize that through the whole process of Jesus being beaten and going through what he was going through, all he had to do was speak a word to God, and it all could have been done with. It all could have been over with. However, Jesus didn't do that because he understood that there was a process that had to follow in order for us to receive salvation. So he was telling Pilate, "You are only doing what I want you to do." And how many times do we make that mistake, thinking that we tell God what we want, but in the end, God always gets what he wants? And I know sometimes it may seem that Jesus is far away from us, that it may not be there when we need him to be, but Jesus is always there. I know that we feel like sometimes something always happens in our life, and life is hard. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. A couple of scenarios we can think about: if you get an eviction notice, or your husband or wife walks out on you, Jesus is always there. Maybe you fell out on tough times and you're being led astray in the wrong direction, but Jesus is always there regardless. You may feel sick in your body, but Jesus is always there. Jesus says, "I had to let you go through that, what you went through, in order for you to see my glory, in order for you to realize that I am real, for you to realize that I am the author and finisher of your faith. I want you to know that I knew the ending of your story before the beginning was even written. So the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord and he will direct your path. And I know we don't understand what is happening sometimes in our lives. But our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And our ways are not his ways. And I know sometimes we feel like giving up. Sometimes we feel like giving in to this defeated mindset or mentality that we have been building for the past years. But dearly beloved, we have to always remember this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because I know your heart, God tells us, and I know that you love me, and because you know my name, I will deliver you. I will answer when you call. I will be with you in times of trouble. I will set you high. I will satisfy you with long life and show you my salvation. And at times in our lives, when we are going through problems, when we are going through pains and sufferings, it's not easy to remember these things. And Satan takes the opportunity to laugh in the face of Jesus and say, I got him, or I got her. Now there is no hope for them. But that is when Jesus will turn around and tell Satan, you only got my child because I allowed it. But know this, you only have the ability to hold them for a little while. Because when they have learned the lesson that I'm teaching them, I'm going to get them back. Satan has absolutely no power other than what Jesus gives him. You have no power against what you planned for your life. Jesus does. You are only doing what I want you to do. Jesus tells us, you are the vehicle that I use to get them where you are going. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes people are lost. We need to praise Jesus every day. Jesus says, I was beaten down and broken that you might be free. I was crucified so that you could be saved. No one and nothing is going to keep you from your destiny. And if we really think about this for a second, I find it amazing to know that before we were even born, God already knew the paths that our lives would take. He knew when we were going to fall. He knew when we were going to break down. He knew when we were going to take detours. He knew we were going to fail. He knew when we were going to get back up. He knew if we were going to serve him or not. He knew if we were going to love him. He knew all of this, but he still decided to love us and let us live our lives. And dearly beloved, when we go through trials, when we go through tribulations, we have to keep in mind that Jesus is in control of our situation and that nobody has power but Jesus. Don't ever tell yourself, don't ever let your mind lapse for a moment, not even when it looks like you're falling, because it is at those times that Jesus will come with his master plan for you if you let him. A plan that will astound and shock you. It is at those low times when he will show you his glory and the enemy has to step back and say, this must be a child of God. And this comes to the last part, it is finished. We heard that in John 19, verse 30. And after all the prophecies were fulfilled, and he had done all that he had to do, Jesus said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave his last breath. And when something is finished, when something is over, when something is done with, it has reached its end. And the job is complete. Isn't it amazing that Jesus even had the power over his own death? Jesus didn't die until he said it was time for him to die. He didn't give up his spirit until he said it was time. You see, there are certain things that had to take place before Jesus could die, or before he could say it was finished. And the first thing was he had to fulfill the scriptures. In Psalms 22, verse 18, it says, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vestures they did cast lots." And in Psalm 69, verse 21, it says, "They also gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And the second thing is, he had to take care of his earthly responsibilities by making sure his mother was cared for after he was gone. And in John 19, verses 26 through 27, it says, "After all this," he said, "it is finished." And dear beloved, Jesus says to all of us here tonight that our situation in our life is finished. We have to realize that God sees us in a way that no other person could ever imagine. He sees us as he created us. He sees us for who we are. And I want you to understand that even though your situation is finished, even though Jesus had spoken it into your life tonight, there is a process that you have to go through to reach your "it is finished" blessing. You are already going through the process. God is trying to change your heart and change your mind. You are trying to learn to hear the voice of God. God is trying to speak to you about who you are and what your purpose is in this life. But dear beloved, it is up to you to have an open heart, an open mind, and an open soul to let Jesus' plans into your life. As a matter of fact, he has let you know that there are certain things in your life that you have to remove in order for you to reach the next level. But what is the problem? Why can't we get to the next level? The reason is we are just like any other human being who is trying to hold on to the problems. We are trying to hold on to the anxiety, to the worries, trying to hold on to the contaminated blessings, who are trying to hold on to counterfeit things. Those things that we want to keep you down. We hold on to those things that don't make us feel better, that drag us down because we like feeling sorry for ourselves, that will eventually destroy us. And dear beloved, at this point in your life, God should be our main focus. It's not about our situation. It's not about the weather. It's not about our relationships. It's not about your job. It's not about your finances. We have to continuously set our sights on things above because we will quickly forget about God if we don't. And the Bible says, "Seek you the first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness in all things will be given to you." That means if you keep your mind on God, he is going to give you all the things you need according to his will. But guess what? It's not according to your will. If you keep him first, he will open up doors for you, and he will open up new windows for you. You cannot be worried about foolish things. You can't be worried about things that are out of your control. And Jesus says to us tonight that our situation will get better. We have to keep our eyes on God, and they have to stay on God. And God is saying to us tonight, you can bear up brothers' burdens by praying for them, by lifting them up and caring for them, but you are not responsible for them. They don't want to live for me. You are not responsible if they don't live for me. Every person must bear his own burden. We all have a cross to bear in this life. And when times come for everyone to stand before the judgment seat of God, everyone will have to stand for themselves. You won't be able to explain away another person's actions to God or make excuses to him for what that person has done. You are only responsible for yourself when you stand before the face of God. And we can ask God for understanding with this saying. God is telling us to know that just like Jesus let Pilate know that he had no power over his situation, he wants you to know that Satan and the things of this world have no power over your life or your situation, but they do only if you let them. Because Jesus is in control. And those troubles that keep you up at night and cause you to beat down, cast yourself down, are only pawns in God's divine plan for your life. So you have the victory in that and be blessed. He wants you to know also to know that your situation is already finished. You just have to continue to have faith and believe. No matter how hard your life gets. And those are the two main things in my message tonight, is to have faith and believe. No matter what circumstance you are going through, Jesus said, it is finished. And because the Lord has spoken, all we have to do is accept this wonderful gift of salvation that Jesus Christ gives to us each and every day. All we have to do is accept it. Amen.